You are listening to Pathways, a ministry of Journey Christian Church, located on 441, 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today, guest speaker Jim Bird will be sharing with us the incredible love that God has for each of us. Through Jesus Christ, God has removed all our guilt, all our condemnation, and made it possible that we might come freely home to Him. Our scripture text comes from 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Today's message is entitled, God Will Give You a Second Chance.
But anyway, I love your preacher. What a dear man he is. I thank him and you for affording me an opportunity to come and share the good news of Jesus. You know, we say, our God will tell you, though forevermore you roam, the nearest place to heaven is my old Kentucky home. We believe that. We believe that. But I had an opportunity. John told me, he said, Jim, you're going to love this place. He said, this Journey is a great church, and these people are so loving, and you're going to love them. And I got to attest, he's right. I had the privilege of meeting with the Journey to Recovery folks last night, and just a wonderful group, a loving group of people. I got to share with them my walk with God's grace. I became a Christian. I was 43 years old. Had never been into church in my adult life except for weddings and funerals. But God impacted me, and 3 years later, I'm preaching to 23 people in a little church in Ohio while I'm going to the seminary. And the rest is just, it's been like, wow, you know, hold on. You know, it ain't about me. Let's go, God. He's in charge. And it's been wonderful. But I got to share some of that last night in vivid detail, maybe more than I should have. But they loved me anyway, even after telling them the truth. It was great. Thanks, Anita. What a great shepherd you are. I appreciate the job you do with the recovery folks. But I shared with them my favorite verse, Acts 20:24. It's my life verse, where Paul, he writes, I consider my life worth nothing, but that I might finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And I intend to do that until Jesus comes or calls. It's just that simple. Because I'm a beneficiary of the grace of God. And a whole lot of you are too. But you know, I've found there's a lot of people that have a misconception of God. I mean, a lot of people think that God, He's up there in heaven. He's just waiting for us to mess up. A lot of people think, you know, he wants us to mess up so he can strike us with lightning or squash us like a bug. He's got his arms folded across his chest, waiting for Jim to mess up so he can swat him with a fly swatter. Whap! That's not the way it is it? Friends, that's not God. God's not glaring at us, waiting for us to mess up. God's on our side. God loves us. God's rooting for us. He wants us to succeed. Now, I will grant you, as a loving father, he's going to have to discipline sometimes. And he will allow us to endure painful trials that we might grow strong. But you make no mistake, God loves us, friends, more than you and I will ever know. God longs to be in a meaningful, intimate relationship with you and with me. I did entitle this message, God Will Give You a Second Chance. And I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 John, the first chapter, beginning in verse 7. He writes, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. And his word's got no place in our lives. Now notice verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, the reality is this. Most of us, friends, we do not commit new sins that we've never battled before. The fact is, most of us find ourselves struggling with the same plaguing offenses day after day, week after week, month after month. Does God continue to forgive us time after time? Why would he? And what should you and I, what should we do in response to that? See, I believe that as we come to understand the incredible nature of God's forgiveness, I think that's going to stir in us a desire to please him by living a life of greater virtue. And so I want us to look at God's incredible offer of forgiveness. And listen to me. The greatest story that has ever been told is that salvation is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. That's the greatest story that's ever been told. God offers you and I forgiveness of sin free of charge. Because we're all guilty of breaking God's laws. Every one of us. You read through the Ten Commandments. You honestly evaluate whether you've kept all those throughout your life. And when you've done that, you realize you can't do it. Nobody can. Oh, we try to cover ourselves. I mean, we're all sinners, but we try to deny it. Well, I didn't do it. Wasn't my fault. I'm not guilty. Or we compare our sins. Well, I may not be perfect, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or we rationalize our sins. Hey, I'm only human. I'm wired this way. It's just who I am. Or we blame others. I'm a victim. I got in with the wrong crowd. They made me do it. Friends, the truth is, we're all guilty. We're all guilty of sin, and sin is a capital offense. But here's the good news. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. As the only sinless human being ever, he took our guilt upon himself and he died in our place so that you and I might be forgiven and set free. I told John I wouldn't misbehave, but I want to dance when I say that. Huh? Jesus died that you and I might be forgiven and set free. That's worthy of an amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thought y'all was sitting on your blessed assurance. Just saying. But think about that. Jesus Christ died in our place. He died in my place. He died in your place. So that you and I might be forgiven and set free. But you know, verse 9 of our text also reminds us God's just. I mean, sin demanded death. And God, in his justice, he demanded that the price be paid. But Jesus paid it. Look at verse 7 of our text. It says, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. Salvation's free. It's a free gift. We can't earn it. There's no way we can pay for it. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet, unfortunately, a lot of Christians continue to struggle with sin. I do. I mean, once we repent of our sins, once we change direction, Once we confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life, we're baptized into Him. Once we've surrendered our lives to Jesus, made Him Lord of our life, we're still going to sin again. Every one of us. And remember, the book of 1 John, our text, it was written to believers. It was written to followers of Jesus, to Christians. And yet, John still says in verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. We're not sinless. But, remember verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Woo-hoo! That's good news. I mean, friends, let's face it. Sin is going to be a problem until the day we die. But the good news is God wants to give us a second chance. Now, maybe you're thinking, Jim, how can it be a second chance? I've committed the same sin over hundreds, thousands of times. And you know, I thought about calling this sermon, God's a God of another chance, instead of a second chance. I've oftentimes said that. God is a God of another chance. But try to follow me on this. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, verse 34, He says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. See, when God forgives our wickedness, He says He forgets it. And so each time we commit a particular sin, God sees it for the first time. And so He's given us a second chance. And as long as we're honestly seeking to do His will, when we confess our wrongdoing, He's quick to forgive and to forget. But there's another side to that second chance concept. Here's the problem. Sometimes when we commit the same sin, maybe for the 100th time, the danger is we start to think, well, it ain't no big deal anymore. It ain't a big deal. We start to minimize it. But understand this. Because God sees it as the first time every time. It grieves His heart over again every time we do it. You understand that? The benefit of grasping God's incredible forgiveness, it's not so we can play the system. It's not so that we can take advantage of His mercy. I mean, we don't take the attitude, well, God will forgive me. It's His job. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. We do not keep on deliberately sinning just because God is merciful. Instead, it is His love, it's His faithfulness that ought to motivate us to live worthy lives. God is devastated every time we sin. And we need to be mindful of that. God doesn't get used to our disobedience like we sometimes do. And so we need to do everything in our power to try and overcome our sinful nature. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us. So I believe that daily confession has got to be something we need to embark upon. We need to do it every day. We got to confess so that God can cleanse us every day. Because His offer of forgiveness, it's a daily proposition. Jeremiah, he writes in Lamentations, he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul's downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Isn't that great? I mean, even though I wander, God's compassion is new every morning for me and for you. His forgiveness, friends, is incredible. However, you need to understand something. The conditional nature of God's forgiveness. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus' love is unconditional. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died for the whole world because of love. God's love is constant. It is eternal. God's love, we do not have the ability to diminish the love of God. But remember the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus told? The son of that wealthy landowner, he demanded his inheritance early, and then he hurried off to the far country to squander his wealth in wild living. Let me ask you something. Did the father love his son while the son was away? Of course he did. But he didn't go after him. He didn't go after him. He allowed his beloved son to choose that destructive path. And Jesus explained, when the son came to his senses, he went home of his own free will. He begged his father for mercy, and the father welcomed him home gladly. But listen, watch. Don't miss this. While the father's love was unconditional, the restored relationship was conditional. The son had to humble himself and go home. And here's the point. Jesus' forgiveness depends upon our confession. Jesus' forgiveness depends upon our confession. If we confess our sins, he'll forgive. The very fact that it says if suggests some people ain't going to do it. They're just not going to do it. They're going to stay in the far country rather than admit their disobedience. We got to confess our sins, friends. We got to. And don't misunderstand me. This is not some legalistic, enumerate every last infraction or else kind of rule. What happens if a Christian's going over the speed limit and suddenly killed in a car accident? Does the fact that he's killed with an unconfessed sin against him, does that mean he's lost his salvation? Of course not. Of course not. God's grace is so much bigger than that. But I know Christian people, who are concerned that I've committed the unforgivable sin. I've done what the Bible calls the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And the way they tell it, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is just a one-time action. I mean, God could forgive me if only I hadn't committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit last Tuesday. It doesn't work that way. It's not a one-time action. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a lifestyle of total rejection of God. It's reaching the point of no return. It's becoming so hardened that you never want to surrender to God's lordship in your life. And so if that's true, then I would suggest that if you're concerned that you might have committed the unforgivable sin, you haven't. Because if you had, you wouldn't even care. Wouldn't bother you in the least. The very fact that you're concerned about it means you haven't reached that point. And I'd also suggest to you that you and I, we cannot look at a person and know that they've reached the point of no return. That's not our way. God's going to do that. God will make that judgment. He'll know if someone's reached the point of no return. We got to still love them, and we got to still share with them until they're gone to glory, or we have. And you know what it means for us? We got to confess our sins to God. I mean, he's done his part. We got to make the next move. We got to come clean before God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. We got to confess our sins to God. We got to be honest. We got to be real. I mean, hey, we can't hide from him anyway. I mean, we're a whole lot better off just being ourselves and admitting our faults. And listen, we're not confessing our sins to God because he doesn't know what we've done until we tell him. God knows everything that we've ever done. He knows what we've done whether we tell him or not. We are confessing so that you and I can enjoy true fellowship. We are confessing so we can enjoy a true intimacy with God. We got parents here? Grandparents? Let me tell you about this story. You're looking out the window one afternoon, and one of your kids, one of your grandchildren, they're out in the front yard, they're playing, and one of them kicks a soccer ball into your wife's flower garden and tears up a bunch of flowers. You go outside a little while later, they're all out there playing. Say, anybody know what's happened to mom's flowers? Not a peep. Not a peep. Now you know what's happened, but you're waiting for the perpetrator to come clean. What's your interaction going to be with that individual the rest of the afternoon? I mean, you might be pleasant, you might be talkative, but the one who did the wrong, they're uncomfortable. They can't look you in the eye. Conversation, it's almost non-existent. And it's got nothing to do with what you know or don't know. It's got everything to do with what they know and haven't confessed. And the net result is a strained relationship until they decide to come clean and be honest with you. Now, you're going to love them just the same. But they can't enjoy that love while that invisible barrier exists between you. And that's what happens with us. We confess our sins to God not to inform him. He knows it anyway. But to acknowledge that we understand, hey, I've let you down. I've let you down. It's in the confession that we release the guilt. It's in the confession that we restore the relationship. After King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and before he confessed that sin to the Lord, he was miserable. Listen to how he describes that time in his life in the 32nd Psalm. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. God knew it all along. God knew it all along, but it wasn't until David confessed the sin that he received that cleansing that he so desperately needed. You ever wish you could have a second chance? It's our choice. A second chance is dependent upon us. We got to make the decision. Friends, we can decide to accept God's offer of forgiveness. We got to make that decision to accept his offer. Listen to these words from Max Lucado. Satan numbs our awareness and short circuits our self-control. We know what we're doing and yet can't believe that we're doing it. In the fog of weakness, we want to stop, but we haven't the will to do so. We want to turn around, but our feet won't move. We want to run and pitifully, we want to stay. It's the teenager in the back seat. It's the alcoholic buying just one. It's the boss touching the secretary's hand. The husband walking into the porn shop. The mother losing her temper. The father beating his child. The gambler losing his money. The Christian losing control. And it's Satan gaining a foothold. Confusion, guilt, rationalization, despair. It all hits. It hits hard. We numbly pick ourselves up and stagger back into the world. Oh God, what have I done? Should I tell someone? I'll never do it again. God, can you forgive me? Life's about choices. It's just about choices. And far too often, we choose to gratify our sinful nature rather than maintaining our integrity. We choose to gratify our sinful nature rather than trying to please God. Calvin Miller once said, decision is the key to destiny. The decisions that we make every day determines the outcome of our lives and the eternal destiny of our souls. That theme verse, 1 John 1:9, it explains for the Christian deciding to confess our sins ensures the cleansing, ensures the forgiveness of God. For non-Christians, it makes clear that they got to decide to surrender. It's a decision they've got to make. See, it's a fact for all people. We got to acknowledge our need for God's mercy. And we, everyone, are in need of God's mercy. So where are you today? Where are you when it comes to sin? Where are you when it comes to forgiveness? God's grace. Salvation. Maybe you're a believer. Maybe you're a believer, but you've been indulging in a secret sin for far too long. I mean, nobody knows about it but you and God. But make no mistake, He knows about it. God's waiting, friend, for you to confess that sin. God wants to take that guilt away. He wants you to be restored to a right relationship with Him. Maybe you're seeking, trying to figure this deal out. Maybe you've been thinking about Christianity for a long time, but you just hadn't taken the time or got the nerve or take that last step. I mean, you're just stubborn. You don't want to let go of that sin. You don't want to confess Jesus Christ as Savior. He's Lord of your life. Why? Why keep waiting? I mean, why keep putting off the freedom that comes from getting right with God? Wherever you are, God wants to extend to you the forgiveness that only He can offer. And I pray that you'll accept His offer. I once read a story about a young man who had a bitter argument with his dad. He left the house. He left home. He severed the relationship with his daddy. Oh, he continued to stay in touch with his mom. Wanted very badly to come home for Christmas. He hoped he could patch things up. But he was afraid that his father would refuse to let him in. His mom, she wrote to him. She urged him to come home anyway. But he didn't feel like it was the right thing to do until he knew his dad had forgiven him. Well, finally, there wasn't any time for any more letters. His mother wrote and said, "Son, I'm going to talk to Dad. And if he's agreed to forgive, I'm going to tie a white rag on the tree that grew beside the railroad tracks near our home. He'd be able to see the white rag before the train reached the station." And she explained, if there wasn't any rag there, it'd be better for him not to get off the train at all. Well, as Christmas Eve approached, the young man began his uncertain journey. And when the train drew near the station, he was so nervous, he asked a friend who was traveling with him, he said, I can't bear to look. You look. Tell me whether there's a rag on the tree or not. And his friend looked out the window and said, "Yes, I see the tree. Is there a white rag tied to it?" And after what seemed like an eternity, his friend turned and in a very gentle voice said, "There's a white rag tied to every limb." That's the forgiveness of God. Through Jesus Christ, friends, God has removed all of our guilt. God has removed all of our condemnation. God's made it possible that we might come to him freely through Jesus. I can't explain it. I don't know why. I don't know how. Because you see, God's love is so deep, it's so pure and holy. But he has. God longs to have a relationship with you and with me. That's why I sent Jesus. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You be assured, God will give you a second chance.
Thanks for listening to this message, God Will Give You a Second Chance, with special guest speaker Jim Bird. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.